And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. As I drove in this morning, I could look off to the north when I was on 175 going through Reese, and I could see two small rain showers. Well, somebody's trying to call. Let's go ahead and take care of that. This program is Health Essentials. And good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a problem when I start walking. My chest begins to hurt. Otherwise, I've had it checked. It's not a heart problem. I've passed a stress test. But there's just a little incline by my house, and when I start up that little incline, just in my chest tightens, and it hurts. But I can stop and rest for just a little bit and go right on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it is?
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I know I'm being overly simplistic, but you're describing your heart is just not getting enough oxygen. Now, you know yourself pretty well, don't you?
I think I do.
Would you say when you sit down to eat, you eat slowly or you eat fast?
Fast.
Believe me, I'm not trying to expose you. Number two, if you do you ever catch yourself breathing pretty shallowly? Or do you feel like that you really use your diaphragm to the fullest potential?
No, probably shallow.
Well, what you're describing to me is probably some degree of an oxygen delivery issue, and I'm going to be kind of radical with my analogies this morning, but if somebody were to have a heart attack, this has nothing to do with you, it is just one big honking Charlie horse of the heart. If you don't get enough oxygen to the heart, it starts to seize up. Last week on the radio, I read some research that I thought was just totally fascinating about treating a condition called angina pectoris, and that's usually exercise-induced. It just means you develop chest pain. So if you went to a doctor and they did a really cool test that I like called the calcium scoring test, that might give you some peace of mind, because if the number comes back zero, that probably indicates you don't have any plaque building up in your heart or in the arteries. But if that number comes back a little bit higher than that, it might suggest that you've got some debris that's taking up space in your arteries. Anytime the arteries become a bit more stiff, that's when the heart has to work harder, and you probably don't deliver as much oxygen to the heart. So let me give you several ideas, all right?
Okay.
There is an herb called hawthorn. And hawthorn has been shown to increase oxygen delivery throughout all the tissues of the body. So, yep, I love it. I like it. Number two, there's a mineral called magnesium. Magnesium plays a very critical role in delivering oxygen to the heart muscle and to the heart tissues. And so it may be there's a combination of things. When a person's a shallow breather, it probably literally kind of causes the blood to become a little bit thicker and a little bit more acidic and a little bit more sluggish. I'm not saying that's your deal. But if you were to catch yourself and say, you know what, self, we're going to do some deep breathing exercises, see if that starts to correct this problem. The oxygen might be the greatest healing element of all time. If I were in charge of the atmosphere right now, I'm not, but if I were, I think I would take the thermostat for oxygen and increase it by about 10%, 20%, and just see if every human being feels better.
Mm-hmm. So okay, so hawthorn, is that just a little capsule and
yes,
magnesium?
Yes, ma'am. Both of those are correct.
And you breathe deep?
Yeah, breathe deep. The other thing that I was going to ask you, even though I didn't, you know yourself well. Do you feel like that you're prone to being anxious?
Yes, and a lot of stress.
Well, and all those things are true. You're the only one that has stress in this universe. I'm joking. Obviously, you're not alone. You're probably mirrored by about 7.2 billion people on the planet that get stressed or experience stress. So if we can find a way to get these tissues to relax even just a little bit, so magnesium may do that for you. I am really, the more that I study the topic, I started to read an article this morning, and you know what the hard thing for me is on a Saturday morning? Just trying to narrow down. There might be 100 things that I really like, but I can't talk about 100 topics. I've got to choose one or two. And this morning, I'm not sure which one I've chosen yet. I guess I'll find out as we go. But one of the topics was back in the 1800s, a man found a cure for Parkinson's disease. And it was just a matter of giving the person with this developing Parkinson's B vitamins. Well, if you look at the role of B vitamins, they really do a remarkable job in helping your body counter stress. And so even if you just engage in the idea, what if I try taking hawthorn? Does that change the discomfort that I have in my chest? Well, you'll find out real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like how many tablets a day and what milligram?
Well, what you're left with, if you go to the store and you look at hawthorn, you're left with the manufacturer's recommended dose. But I'll tell you this.
Okay.
If I have a severe case and a person says, man, my chest is really giving me fits, I'll usually double or triple the hawthorn dose just momentarily to see if it helps. And I kid you not, I had a man sitting on my table, my examination table in my office one day, and he had very, very severe chest pain. And all I had him do, and I know it was kind of a gross experiment because hawthorn does not taste like a Hershey's chocolate or a Dove chocolate bar, but I had him just suck on a tablet of hawthorn, and within about 45 seconds to a minute, he could feel all the tightness leave his chest. And that's kind of an interesting experience because, you know, your tongue, under your tongue, you have these sublingual arteries and blood vessels and veins. If you were to stick your tongue out and curl it up, you could shine a flashlight under your tongue, and you'll see these rich kind of purple-blue blood vessels. You've done that before, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, I'm used to having people stick their tongues out at me all the time, so I get to see these. But if you look under your tongue, you're going to see these rich blood vessels. But that's like one of the most interesting delivery systems to everything in the body. So sometimes I have people suck on things just momentarily to see if it creates a significant change in how they function.
Would it be okay to take hawthorn and the magnesium together?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Well, I know that like in magnesium, there's 100 milligram and there's 400 milligrams. So what would you suggest?
Well, I think if you stick with forms like, let me just discuss the ones that you're probably going to have availability to. I'm a huge fan of magnesium lactate, but other people, they like magnesium glycinate, or they like magnesium citrate, or they like citrate malate. All those are valid forms. But you're left with, when you go into the health food store or you go to the grocery store and you get magnesium, I'd probably just pass on magnesium oxide if it were me. I just don't think it's going to be real absorbable. So if you just take it, just do whatever the manufacturer recommends as a dose, and you can try that. I just don't have every single brand of magnesium and hawthorn memorized. Sorry about that.
Oh, man.
I know. That's a big letdown.
Well, we think you're just great. And
well, you're very, very kind. Thank you very much.
You appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye.
You too.
All right. The number of the station, I haven't officially given that out, but I will right now. It's 903-586-5257, just in case you want to call and ask a question or make a comment. Trying to decide what to talk about. Sometimes it's just very challenging. I did want to run a quote by you. When I got home from work yesterday, I repeated to my wife what a woman told me. And I'm not going to go into great details, but let's just say it this way. A woman has a very devastating, destructive, degenerative neurological condition. And, I'll just go ahead and say it's Parkinson's. And she's in a face-to-face consultation or slash examination with a medical doctor. And the medical doctor happens to be one of the most greatly respected, highly intelligent. Basically, if you ask 100 doctors who their top neurologist is, this person's name is probably going to come up over and over and over again. Anyway, she asked, and I think what triggered this was, I was telling her that I was reading Joe Pizzorno's a chapter that he had written in a book. I think it was called Total Wellness. But he was talking about the use of coenzyme Q10 in treating Parkinson's disease. And I was just kind of, you know, probably blabbing about that a little bit. And Joe Pizzorno was saying that when you're looking at the studies on what amount of coenzyme Q10 was shown to be beneficial to Parkinson's, well, it was always a little over 1,000 milligrams. Not 100, not 200, not 500, but yeah, it was over 1,000. I think they were using 1,100 to 1,200 milligrams. But at that level of that particular vitamin or antioxidant, whatever you want to call it, it's fine by me, they were seeing good positive changes. Well, that kind of prompted her to say, she suggested supplementation to the neurologist, and his response was this, and this is what I told my wife last night. The medical doctor said that to the lady with Parkinson's, by the way, that would be like putting new batteries, or maybe she used the word fresh batteries. She said, anyway, the doctor said, if you take antioxidants or vitamins, that's going to be like putting new batteries in a dead radio. And I told it to my wife, and my wife quickly said, without missing a beat, she said, well, wouldn't that cause the dead radio to work properly with fresh batteries? And I said, yes. Anyway, that wasn't taken as a compliment, but that idea was just very, very quickly put down as far as giving the person any hope. There's just a, you know, folks, you have got to be completely responsible for your own health. No one else can take charge. You're in the driver's seat. If you want to feel good, if you want to experience healing, you have got to completely prioritize taking care of yourself. That's been the problem since the beginning of time, the lack of responsibility. Even I know I can look in the mirror and tell that I can do better. That's probably one of the metrics that I would really like to continually improve, is that one called discipline or self-discipline. Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. This is the Pasadena Kid.
The Pasadena Kid? I thought you were panning for gold in Alaska right about now.
Well, it was a few years back. I'd like to be there again with you.
Well, sure. Can you save just a little space beside that stream and not get all the huge nuggets for yourself? You got to give me at least, throw me a nugget here and there.
You know what? I know where gold is, but I got to do some scuba diving in the Koyukuk River, and I've been looking for somebody. Serious as a heart attack. I'm seriously looking for somebody to go up there and dive in that river to get those nuggets out.
How deep is the water?
Well, it has to be done right at the end of freeze-up when the mountains are freezing and the water gets clear because no glacier silt. There's no big sweeper trees coming down the river because you couldn't be diving under there with that. And the water table drops down because it's freezing. It wouldn't be over about 10, maybe 15, 20 feet at the very most.
How much would the equipment cost to do the diving?
That's relatively accessible and inexpensive. The part to get there is then a little bit more because it had to be going in by a riverboat in a remote part of Alaska, up around Bettles, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to let the water, it would be frozen in, so we'd have to get flown out by a bush plane and then go back and get the boat next year. But
I really don't see what the problem is. There's not many hurdles at all.
Okay, I'm really looking for somebody to do that, and the natives told me, Orbit, nobody has ever done this, and it's got to be done within a window of opportunity about 3 maybe 4 days at the most would be 4 or 5 days.
Oh, that's a piece of cake. I could just pack my tent right now. I'll be up there with you in the right time.
Okay, I'm going to come up and talk to you about that.
Well, how can I help you today?
Dr. Morgan, I've got a problem sometimes when I'm working out in the heat that my throat starts getting kind of squealy and scratchy. And then if I go try to call, I'm an auctioneer, and if I go try to call the auction right after that, my throat is not tuned up. What can I do? What causes that?
Well, heat is just wonderful and lovely because it exposes any weakness that we have in the body, but probably it's dehydrating, inflamed mucous membranes of your throat, and it's just drying you out. It's probably just as simple as that. I can tell you what I would do if it were me. If I was a world-class auctioneer, I am not.
I'm not either.
No. You are world-class. I mean, you're famous from here to Alaska, right?
Well, that's true. I have done it in Alaska for many years, but then I'm back here in the heat again. It makes a difference.
In your spare time, I'm going to need you to send me the GPS coordinates where those large bars of gold are in the river, and then I'll get back with you a little bit later, okay?
That's my secret. I'm not going to take anybody up there unless I trust them.
Is that your way of saying you don't trust me?
Well, the person and the boat would have to be running the heater to keep the sluice box from freezing.
So this is going to be a team effort. It's going to be you got to have trust between both of you, right?
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, one thing that I'd like you to do, or these are just ideas for your consideration.
Okay.
If it were me, whether you enjoy lemons more or limes more, it matters not to me. I like both of them. I think I'm on my lime kick right now just because it just, for some reason, is just very appealing lime juice. But what I want you to do is take about 3 to 4 lemons or 3 to 4 limes, whatever seems good to you, and I want you to extract the juice from them. They have those glass bowls that are reamers, and you just twist it and apply pressure, and out comes the juice. Now, personally, I love the pulp. A lot of people don't like pulp. I do. I dig it.
I've wondered about that.
So, but what you're doing is, between the lemon juice and the lime juice, they actually contain a very unique solvent. And these solvents help scrub your throat clean. And so some people might, every morning when they wake up, they might... Maybe they don't use lemon juice, but a lot of people, they'll take a spoonful of lemon juice and a spoonful of apple cider vinegar, and sometimes they'll use a spoonful of honey, but they will sip on that like a warm cup of tea in the morning, and they find that very cleansing of their throat. But you can do this however you want, but if you want to take the juice of one lime and just extract the juice from it, add it to a glass of water, and just start sipping on this. Now, the other benefits are going to be limes and lemons, they can't contain rich electrolytes or minerals that your body needs anyway for fluid and for water balance. So I would consider that. The other thing that I would do if it were me, if I knew I had a multi-zillion dollar auction coming up, which is probably the way you roll just about every single day, right?
It'd be nice.
I mean, I don't even know how much a zillion dollars is, but you could count that much in about an hour, right?
Well, I can't count that high.
I thought I was the only one that couldn't count to a zillion, but what I want you to do is just go to the store and just buy a gallon of just plain Jane aloe vera juice, and I really think that would be very, very good for you to kind of sip on aloe vera juice throughout the day and see if your throat really, really responds. Now, an interesting thing that I've figured out the hard way is when I have people that have just continual throat issues, I have to think about the mineral zinc. And what I'm suggesting is you're probably deficient in zinc.
I think I am.
Well, it's just a guess. It's not a bad guess.
Well, I think I am because I've heard you talk about that and I've never responded.
You know, give it a shot and see what happens. But if you'll sip on aloe vera juice, just take a little shot glass and drink about an ounce of it every hour on the hour of the day. and see if now if your income increases by $4.2 million, I expect a little bit of gratitude. You just got to call me and say it worked out well, right?
That would be well worth it, I assure you.
You could probably afford to buy a really nice riverboat and all the sluicing equipment and all the diving equipment, couldn't you?
Yeah, and then I could entice you to come with me.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, what could go wrong? Freezing cold water, 15 foot down. What kind of sharks do they have in that river? Are they called great whites?
Well, this is freshwater, and I would trust you.
Oh, no. I know you said there's no great white sharks, but it would be the way that would happen to me. As soon as I dive down, I would come face to face with a 21-and-a-half-foot great white. I know. My first thought's going to be, now, he told me there were no great whites in this freshwater river. Yeah, right.
Oh, boy. Hey, one more quick question, if I'm allowed it. I want to ask you a question regarding my horse's hooves.
Sure.
I've got a horse that her tendency is to have cracks in her hooves, and if there is anything I can do about it, I need to figure out what it is.
Well, do you ever give your horses molasses?
No.
Do you ever give them oats?
Yeah, she gets oats every day.
Every day? If it were me, I'd probably add some dried molasses to it. I mean, they have access to plenty of water, don't they?
Oh, yeah, you have to.
You know, sometimes this puzzles me, because if I drive by a small pasture that looks immaculate, they've got great grass and they put a bunch of longhorns out there, there's no water out there. And I just... Can they just extract all the water they need from the grass?
No, they got to have water. That's it, inventory.
Well, how long can a horse survive without a pond or a source of water?
Well, did you ever watch any of these old cowboy movies? Some of them are kind of fictitious. They go in a long time.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, they have to have water. I would use, if you can get a hold of some what's called beet pulp, and I think that's pretty easy to do.
I'm a beekeeper, I can.
Oh, hey, there you go. Number two, if you will get the dried molasses, and of course, molasses is all the minerals that comes from, extracting those minerals from sugarcane. But molasses has a lot of organic materials, and it has a lot of minerals, and it's got carbon in it. Last time I checked, we're carbon-based life forms. Even your horse, your trusty steed, he's a carbon-based life form. Or is it a she?
It's a mare.
It's a mare? Okay. Like the mare of Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay.
A real sweet-natured mare.
Oh, you know what? That's hard to beat when you got a horse that's really sweet-natured, isn't it?
When I ride her, I don't beat her. She loves to go.
Yeah, my sister Mary Ellen had a half Tennessee Walker, half thoroughbred, and she really enjoyed going back to get her feed. Of course, you don't understand that when you're just really close back to where they live, that they want their food. You've never experienced that, have you?
Dr. Morgan, you sparked something. I have to say something if I can.
Sure.
On the news lately, I was a dog musher in Alaska, and those dogs lived to pull that sled.
Well, which way do they pull it faster? Toward, back to their house where they get food, or...
They can be. They can make you think that they're just hunkered out and they can't go anymore. And there can be a moose off trail down in lickety step. Here they go.
You mean even a sled dog has a little bit of motivation working for him?
They live to pull that sled. They love to pull that sled. So when you hear that on the national news, get started.
Isn't that great? I appreciate your phone call. Let me know how it works out with the molasses.
Okay, and I'm gonna contact you about going to Alaska.
Yeah, if I got in my car and left right now, how long would it take to get there?
It took me 2 weeks, but I took my time because me and my Sheltie, we'd climb a mountain if we wanted to, or we would get.
Boy, that is the life. Way to go, man.
Okay.
All right. Take care. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. I'm almost positive there's a little bit more to it than just making it sound kind of simplistic that way. If it was easy, anybody would do it, right? If you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. The number is 903-586-5257. So what do y'all think about that phrase the doctor told the sweet, adorable lady? If you take vitamins, that will be like putting new batteries in an old dead radio. I'm not sure how to interpret that. Anyway, moving right along. You know, you can't let somebody tell you how to take care of yourself. I mean, you can if they're giving you good advice. But you know what? Sometimes there's just a tremendous bias on what information is given. I mean, you know that. Anyway, I do not have the article in front of me. Wait, the phone line's going. Hang on a second. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good, fine, thank you. My mother is 88 years old, and we just took her to the doctor. She just moved here to Texas, and we took her to the doctor just to have someone to take her to, I guess. And she ended up being through her test. She takes nothing but an aspirin, but she had a stroke when she was 75. But she's super tired all the time, and she has been most of my life that I remember. But she, the doctor put her on a thyroid medication called L-E-V-O-T-H-Y-R-O-X-I-N-E.
Yeah, levothyroxine.
Yes, and I haven't given it to her yet, but I saw that there was one called Armor that was a more natural, and I argued the point with her, but she said that they don't give that to it because it has something in it that over 65 she didn't need.
Oh, yeah, I know. This doesn't even make logical sense. Well, the article I read the other day showed that when you take levothyroxine, it increases your chances of insulin resistance 200 to 300%, which means it leads toward diabetes. And the other article that I read about levothyroxine showed that people that take it, they have about 200% more cancer. Now, I realize that she's 88, and I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but I haven't found those studies with Armour Thyroid. So why would we want to be logical and use Armour Thyroid that has less side effects? I can tell you why they use levothyroxine, because they can exactly make it the dose they want. I almost think this whole process is, makes it more convenient for physicians, because if they want 65 milligrams, they can give 65. But Armour Thyroid, it may be plus or minus 5 milligrams. It may be 60, it may be 70. It depends on how well the cows and the sheep get to eat.
This is 25. She did give her the lowest dose, I think, of NCG.
Well, do you know what the hardest thing for a doctor is? It is very hard for a physician, and I mean this seriously, to prioritize and figure out what is the dominant issue that's keeping her from having energy. And a lot of times... Well, I know you know this already, but what is literally the number one prescription drug for women in America? It's levothyroxine. I mean, every human being that you come across, have you ever met somebody out in public and they don't smile at all and they're moving very, very slow and they can barely put one foot in front of the other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people that way. And all I'm trying to say is I'm not picking on those people, but there's just a lot of people that are just bone-weary tired. It is literally a challenge to make it through the day, so I'm not trying to make that into your mother's deal. But it's very hard for a doctor in just a very short period of time to actually prioritize. Now, maybe he's hit a home run, or the doctor's hit a home run with your mama. That's great. Maybe she needs thyroid. But I can tell you how the old-time doctors used to do this back in the 1930s and 40s. If a 88-year-old woman was brought to see a Dr. Marcus Welby, M.D., and the daughter said, "I'm really concerned about my mom. She's been tired my whole life. As long as I've been around her, she's just been tired. She's not a high-energy person, even though she wants to be." And he goes, "Well, you know what? I really think it's her thyroid. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give her a half a grain of Armour Thyroid, or desiccated thyroid is what they used, and call me back tomorrow and tell me if she really perks up." And that's the way they used to do it. So if she didn't perk up, they might go, "Let's just give her 1 grain of thyroid." And then you report back and say, "Hey, how's your mama doing now?" And you go, "Oh, Dr. Marcus Welby, you just cannot even believe it. My mom is a new person." He goes, "Aha, it was the thyroid after all." But, I mean, does that make sense the way I'm describing it?
Mm-hmm, it does.
But so...
I mean, they did do a blood test with this. So I'm assuming, is that how you found out that your thyroid is low?
That is one way, and sometimes you can hit the nail right on the head, and it's a perfect test. But did the doctor discuss the lab findings with you?
No. And I think I'm going to just ask him to give them to me, or ask
sure.
her to give them to me.
Oh, yeah. Just call the nurse. Just bypass the doctor and say, "Hey, can I get a copy of that lab work?" Mail it right to you.
Okay. So you don't think there's any problem? I can go back and argue with them and say, you know, I'd rather you.
Oh, no.
Then you had to have a physician order.
No. If you would prefer her to be on Armour Thyroid or Nature Thyroid or any of those natural ones, that's or WP Thyroid, that's all fine. That's good.
But where can you get it? You said you have to have a doctor to order it.
Yeah, you just have to have somebody that's willing. That could be a nurse practitioner. That could be a physician's assistant. I mean, half the people that I talk to every day, I ask them, did you actually see a doctor? They go, nope, never did. I'm doing good to see my doctor like once a year at the most, even though I go in every month. They usually see a nurse or a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. All you have to do is just get somebody that's open-minded and willing. So, you can go from levothyroxine to Armour Thyroid. I mean, last time I checked, thyroid produces, what, 23 different hormones? Armour has all of them. Levothyroxine? No. That's just the one.
No, it's synthetic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is, though, but it's medicine's way of trying to answer these complex issues. I just know this. If I were 88 years old, I would want you to be my daughter that's rooting for me and pulling for me. You're awesome.
Well, thank you, but she's her own, believe me. She loves to eat what's right and vegetables that grow out of the ground and kale and everything else that goes along with it. And so she doesn't touch sugar. I mean, she likes it, but she will not touch it.
But is she chronically tired?
Chronically. And I say, I remember her, I told her, I think when you were, I was young, I still have this in my picture, she's going to die because she's so exhausted looking.
You know what
and they said she's a little bit anemic, too.
Well, that's so, a deal. I tell you what, I can tell you what I would do if this were me, and this is just off the top of my head, so don't make it sound like it's really sophisticated. A lot of what the thyroid does is literally based on how efficient and how energetic your adrenal glands are. And that's all controlled by the pituitary. So if it were me, I would probably look at giving her some type of adrenal supplementation. And there's one herb that's usually very, very safe. It's called ashwagandha. You ever heard of that?
No, ashwagandha?
Yes, just use your vivid imagination to spell it.
Yeah, I think I'll sound it out. Okay, so ashwagandha.
Yeah, I was trying to spell it myself. I spelled A-S-W-A-H-G-A-H-H-H-H-H. No, but it's called ashwagandha. Sometimes it's called withania, like with ania. Mm-hmm. And so that's another name. And sometimes if people are just bone-weary fatigued, you can just get what's called an adrenal glandular and give that to a person and see if it really, really perks them up.
Okay.
It doesn't take long to work. And then I'm just the more that I study the topic, I just become more and more amazed, like, really, really? But I find that natural B vitamins are so critical. If you want to generate energy, they are usually the rate-limiting factor. I'm not trying to say only. I mean, a cardiologist might recommend coenzyme Q10. That's excellent. Vitamin D is excellent. Vitamin K2 is excellent. But we're trying to train the body to generate energy. But B vitamins, they cover a lot of steps in that citric acid cycle or the Krebs cycle or the energy production cycle. So you can't go wrong. But you could try all those things very, very safely and see if it helps. And the other thing that I would do, can I be just a little bit of a philosophical person for a second?
Right.
Her skin is like a giant solar battery charger for all her cells that generate energy. I would have her outside doing a little bit of sunbathing.
I did that one day. She was so funny. She was
real. Oh, did you? I know how you did this. You said, Mom, I hear there's some gold nuggets under the fish pond in the front yard. Would you like to come out? And then you shut the door behind her and locked it for 1 hour, right?
No, I said, this gives you vitamin D and helps your bones. So that's what she did.
Well, you know what? If you did this day after day for about 2 weeks, then we're going to have a pretty good experiment. And if she goes, you know what? I do feel a little bit better. You know, the way I look at this is every human being is very unique. What works for one person may not be the solution for another. But we have needs. And sometimes human beings, they have a little bit greater need for vitamin D or B vitamins or magnesium or zinc than what another person would. So I'm fine with that.
They did put her on vitamin B12.
Yeah.
Too, and it I mean, in the granary, they recommended a methyl.
Methyl cobalamin?
Yes, the 5,000, whatever, I don't know what.
Oh, yeah, fine by me.
So,
yeah, you know, there's every single day in America, the emergency rooms are just completely overrun with people that have overdosed on B12. It's just a horrible, horrible deal. All Americans are just, you know, they take a B12 and they have to. But you know, I'm joking about that. I'm being sarcastic. But the other day, I asked a woman, I said, what'd your medical doctor say about you taking B12? He said, he told me, he looked at me and he said, you will die if you take B12. And I thought, oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. Did he really say that? She goes, yes. If I want to die, take B12. If I want to live, take the chemotherapy. Because chemotherapy does not kill people, according to, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other article. That was the other article that I read this morning before I came on the air. It's showing in one hospital, 50.9% of all people taking chemotherapy in this hospital were dead within 1 month. And they were saying, what kills a person, the cancer or the chemotherapy? Well, in this particular hospital, 50.9% of all patients didn't make it past the first month. So I'm not saying that's the stats for every hospital, but it was one unique study of a hospital in using chemotherapy and having a very high death rate. Might want to avoid that hospital if
you don't die, you want to. That's what it looks like to me.
You know what I told a person the other day? I said, okay, I'm being very honest with you. You're welcome to challenge anything that I say, but some of the new studies on chemotherapy are demonstrating that it really just does one thing. And I know no one's going to agree with me on this, but they're saying it makes you so sick and so nauseated and so desirous not to even look at a morsel of food, and they're going, aha, that's the real mechanism. And so what I'm getting at is this. If you do not provide cancer cells with a source of energy, they just starve to death and die. I think it's a radical treatment. So here you have an option. Take expensive chemotherapy that costs, you know, $2.3 billion. I'm joking about that. And it makes you so sick and nauseated that you can't eat. So what if that's the real effect of chemotherapy, or one of the greatest sales pitches, that you don't even feel like eating, so you starve the cancer that way? You know what the other side of the equation is? What if a person educated themselves and they said, you know what, I'm going to try fasting for a period of time and I'm going to starve the cancer out that way? I've already had several cases this year where people had impossible cancers to heal, and they reported back to me that the doctor can no longer find any cancer. They say that I'm cured, and I'm going, well, how did you do that without chemotherapy? You know, I'm playing dumb with you, but a lot of these cases, you just have to starve the cancer cells to death. It's just as simple as that. So but you know what? They're not going to, the American Cancer Association or Society, they're not going to contact Roy Morgan and say, Dr. Morgan, we really value your opinion on cancer treatment, so we want to do an experiment. We're going to give you 100 patients, and we're going to take 100 patients, and we're going to see who gets the best results. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask them, so I can do whatever I want? Oh, yeah, anything but chemo. Okay, deal. But they're not going to do a study like that because, number one, it is not going to go along with their sales pitch or their narrative that you've got to start chemo right now, you got to do this. Anyway, I'm getting off on a
tangent. Or their money pocket.
Did you just say money?
Oh, I just accidentally said
do you know
money.
What the, you know what the Bible says? Yeah, you know what the Bible says about money? It's the root of all evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your comment is...
The desire of it anyway.
You're right. Money is not necessarily bad, is it?
Mm-mm, just
to
decide what we do with it.
Yes, ma'am.
But anyway, well, I appreciate it. So I'm just going to have to find somebody. If I had pushed it, maybe she would have let me have it. I don't know. But I just know I read about it. I'm like,
well, I don't know if you want to say the word pushing it, but I would say, you know what? I would feel much better if she were taking Armour Thyroid. But it's not standardized. It's not what I'm used to. Well, I understand that. But I really think that we've got nothing to lose. My mother needs energy, so why don't we try Armour Thyroid instead of leave you with a rocks? And, well, it's not standardized. Well, I don't care. I'm willing to take the risk. Anyway, yeah. It's your mama. I'm proud of you for really, you are in her corner. You're such a good girl.
I'm trying to keep off of any kind of medication.
I think we should have a national holiday called Favorite Award-Winning Daughter Day.
We should.
We celebrate all the daughters that just go out there and put on the line for their mamas and their dads.
Can I ask one thing about liver, too? Because
yeah.
she really thinks liver helps her a lot, calf liver. Should I make her give her that at once a week at least, or
give it to her every day?
It'd be fine.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you a story that I read years ago?
Go right ahead.
All right. World War II. The Imperial Japanese Army took over parts of China. I'm just going to say Shanghai. I don't really have any. Maybe it was Nanking, but anyway, yeah, I think it was Nanking. But there was a POW camp, and I know you know this from reading history, but if you were an American aviator or a Naval Air Force pilot, you're as good as dead if they capture you. The Japanese were brutal. I didn't say the Imperial Navy. I said the Imperial Army. They were brutal. And so there was one POW camp that was liberated at the very end of World War II in China, held by the Japanese were the captors. I mean, they were the guards, and they were holding the captives. And so what happened was they had a very, very extremely high occurrence of a disease called myasthenia gravis. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Let's put it this way. These people are so bone-weary fatigued they can barely lift their arms to scratch their nose if there was an itch. They would just have to let their nose itch. They couldn't do it. Arms that weak and that tired. Guess what the solution and the cure was? They gave them 1 pound of calf liver every day for a month. That was the cure. Brought them back to life again. Now, you might be the only person that's willing to listen to that story, but I'm just thinking to myself, what harm could come by a person eating calf liver every day to see if it brings it back to life?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of radical, isn't it?
It would be for me, but she likes it. I can learn to eat it.
Well, you know, everything's hinging on your attitude right now. If your attitude was just a little bit better toward calf liver, this would just go a lot better.
I know. Well, she has a really good attitude about it.
What is your mother's first name?
I put it in a smoothie or something.
You would really put liver in a smoothie?
I don't know. Maybe if I could just mask the flavor.
I have a little baby food grinder, and I'll put liver in that. I know I'm not supposed to say this on the radio because, you know, probably CPS will probably say you're torturing your kids. Yeah, by making them eat liver. But I would just grind liver directly into the eggs. And the other thing that my wife does, the kids don't even know what's going on. She'll take and put liver in a meatloaf, but I can tell you how she doesn't do it. She doesn't sit down at the table and say, "Now, kids, is there anything really bizarre about the meatloaf tonight, or anything weird?" Because, you know, eyes are going to start rolling. They're going to go, "Mom, what did you do to the meatloaf now?" If you just crank some liver into your meatloaf, your husband won't even know what's going on.
I might have to do that. I might have to learn to make
meat. I'm all about deceiving people. Why be up front and be honest and tell them there's liver in the meatloaf? No, trick them.
I agree.
Well, I thank you very much for your phone call. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line open. Surely somebody has a question that needs to be answered. Not that I can answer it, but if the answer is calf liver, then I think I can answer that question. 903 586-5257. What if calf liver represents a powerhouse of nutrients that your body can lick up and digest and use to strengthen you? Good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I bet you want to know. Is it about calf liver?
No.
Oh, no, okay, go ahead.
West Nile.
Oh, West Nile.
I had West Nile about 4 years ago, and I've had chronic joint pain ever since. And I've been treating the joint pain, but I'm wondering if maybe there's a different way to attack it.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be a total crazy person this morning. can I tell you a story real quick, though?
Sure.
I'm going to call her a grandmother. Because I think she was like 57, 55, 58, 59, somewhere around there. But her daughter passed away, and so the only one to raise the 13-year-old daughter was the grandmother. So she's the mother now. Are you with me?
Yep.
So she tells me, she says, Bobby sent me to see you. All I have to do is mention the name Bobby, and everybody knows who I'm talking about, right? Never mind. But anyway, so she comes to see me, and she says, my granddaughter has missed 4 straight months of school. I'm going, really? Well, what's the deal? She's in bed. She's so exhausted. She's so tired. We think she has mono, but the tests do not say she has mono. But I'm going, but what you're left with is you have a teenage girl at your house that can't get up and do anything. And she goes, yeah, she just stays in bed. She's wiped out. And so me being the radical firebrand that I am and the great trailblazer nutritionally, I know for a fact that if I'm trying to get someone to overcome from a viral infection, one of the things that I always consider in the arsenal is thymus extract and spleen extract that comes from a cow that donates them to me.
Okay.
There are several.
Thymus and spleen.
Yes, there are several cattle in the United States that have signed up to be spleen donors, and they have assigned over their rights to Dr. Morgan in Jacksonville. And so I tend to be the benefactor, and I have promised them I will send their spleen to a good home. And so she calls me on Monday, and she says she's a brand new girl. She's back to school now. I'm going, what? How? Wait a second. You can't do that in 3 days. That's impossible. Okay, if you say so. But I really am a huge fan of thymus extract. The article that I started to read this morning, just coincidentally, it was a Russian science journal, and this is what it said. Now, I don't speak Russian, so I had to use the American translation. I know that disappoints you that I can't, but I can't. But they did an experiment with older, elderly people that were above the age of 75, and for 6 to 8 years... they gave them thymus extract, and they said, well, what's the end result? Well, there was a 2.4% increase in longevity. Sorry, I didn't say that right. That was 2.4-fold. That means they lived 240% longer. What does that tell you right there? If you live longer, you're not sick. Because when you're older, what is it that gets you? It's infection, like pneumonia. You get double pneumonia, and you just struggle for 3 days, and you choke to death and die. Well, that didn't sound real attractive. I didn't mean it that way. But that's what happens.
That's what happens.
And so there's got to be a glitch within your immune system because it's not able to rise to the occasion. So one thing that your thymus gland does is it secretes and produces a hormone called thymosin. You've got to have that to cause your immune system to behave properly. So you've got a glitch, and that's one of the reasons why I'm a proponent of a zinc supplementation, because your thymus gland, it don't do so hot when you don't have zinc. And so this is a radical idea. All I want is your immune system to rise to the occasion and do its job. Look through every nook and cranny within your body and find the West Nile virus. Eat it. Karate chop it. Beat it up. Devour it. But get rid of it, because there's not many things that will completely exhaust all the hormone-producing systems of your body like a chronic viral infection. You talk about somebody that has no energy. Yes, a chronic viral infection will deplete your adrenal glands of all their energy, and you will have nothing in reserve. And so that's probably the other thing that we have to do, is we have to address probably the adrenal glands. As a general rule, the immune system follows what the adrenal glands do. So when your adrenal glands are most radiant and they're vibrant and they're functioning on a high level, like on all 8 cylinders, or with today's car, all 6 cylinders, then the immune system can work very, very well. So I would say we need to change the equation, because I want you to be at full speed. I mean, doesn't your husband need you to wash and wax his truck at least once a week?
Oh, sure.
Well, do you have the energy to do that right now?
No.
Okay, then. That should be enough motivation for any wife, right?
Yeah.
My wife.
That sounds like a plan.
My wife may drive my truck through a car wash, but it's nearby. But at least, would you prayerfully and thoughtfully consider looking up research on thymus extract? Thymus extract, or thymus glandular, or spleen glandular, it is completely the most forgotten remedy of all time. I'm continually telling people that have a diagnosis of cancer, we had better get your... The spleen is by far and away the largest filter of the immune system. I think that's kind of important.
Is there a particular brand or manufacturer that
I want you to be able to, I mean, what I use, I don't know if you can have access to it, but at least if you start doing some research on spleen and thymus extracts, I think you'll be quite pleased. They're easily available. You can get them just about any time that you want. Who knows? There might be a website called eatmycowspleen.com, and you could order from that.
Okay.
Maybe not. I mean, just because I don't look up those things. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to get on my phone, eatmyspleen.com. No, but you can.
I bet I can find it.
I bet you can too.
Okay, Dr. Morgan, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I sure hope that helps you a whole lot. And let me know what happens, please.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye. I butchered that information. Forgive me. It was seniors that took thymus extract. They had a 240% increase in longevity in life. That means they're not dying from infections. Very interesting. I always have this conversation with myself when I say things like, wow, if they could find a drug that would increase lifespan by 240%, they would be on every billboard. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
About my SI joint. I've been struggling for the past 4 months. I can barely move. I can't sit for long periods of time. And before this, I was very active, exercising all the time. I have a new baby that I've adopted. I have two older girls. But this has really been bothering me for the past 4 months. It's locked up. I've gone to a neurosurgeon here in Tyler, and I've had several.
Well, what did the neurosurgeon say was the cause of the problem?
Well, basically my spine and all the the vertebrae and all my disc and all that look good. It's an SI joint issue, and how they diagnosed that is doing the first joint injection. So I went under anesthesia, and it's under x-ray, and they pinpoint the SI joints, and they put in the cortisone steroid shot in those. Anyway, so it helped. It did take away the pain for a couple of weeks, and then I felt like getting back on my treadmill and things, and it came back. And for the past 4 months, it's just getting worse. I can't sit and travel. I can't really walk long distances. I've tried physical therapy, I've tried acupuncture, I've tried a chiropractor, I've tried cryotherapy, I've tried creams, belts. He said basically, you know, some women after childbirth, their hips and pelvis are connected by this SI joint.
Oh, yeah, that's a great answer. That just really helps.
Yeah, and so there is an option for an SI joint fusion where they put titanium rods in your joints. And
have you thought about just amputating from about the chest down?
Right. That's just
crazy. That's nuts. Really, titanium rods, really. Okay.
Yeah, the people that I've YouTubed and seen that have had this surgery are now running marathons and feel great, have no pain. So I don't know. That's going to be my last option, but I'm also going to get tested for a rheumatoid arthritis and things like
That's one of the things that I would consider is you're having an autoimmune reaction that's manifesting at that sacroiliac joint. At least that's an option.
Okay. I do have a low thyroid. That's the only otherwise I'm healthy. I would still
take it and run with it. I mean, I'm kind of an information junkie, so I like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Can I give you some ideas?
Okay, yes.
All right, number one, I hate the plan of everybody else. I said the word hate last night. We were coming up with a nickname for my son, Christopher, and we said, why don't we start calling him Karate Hottie? And I said, okay, you can do that, but he hates that term. Just hates.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a karate instructor. Anyway, if you saw the expression on his face, he's going, Dad, do not call me karate. Anyway, I tried to tell him that if he would put that on his uniform and walk out in public, it would probably generate all kinds of business. And he's going, yeah, the wrong kind of business. Anyway.
Yeah,
but I don't. Do you see now that it's very difficult and very challenging for any physician to pinpoint what the root cause of a problem is. And so what you're left with is they can inject a boatload of cortisone and painkillers and anti-inflammatories in the joint and go, hey, hey, we figured out it's coming from the SI joint because you didn't have pain for 2 weeks. Okay, but what's causing that? What's driving it? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm only going to tell you, I'm going to give you an idea. And I don't have any way of knowing if it's correct or not.
Yeah.
But what I told the lady earlier, and I'll try to be more precise with you, but probably 95% of what your thyroid does is based on the pituitary and the adrenals. Mm-hmm. And so what if, for example, you don't really feel as good as you used to feel, and maybe life is a little bit harder, and you have multiple things that could pull you this direction or that direction and stress you out, which you're a mother. I mean, come on, kids are... Did you ever think it was going to be so hard to raise kids?
No, but my 14-year-old has type 1 diabetes, so yes, I do have a lot of stress.
And so, yeah, that's another... And that would definitely be an autoimmune condition, but to make a long story short, I would probably say if I were given permission to take a look at this, I'd probably say, all right, let me examine her. And what I would do is I would pretend that your body is probably going to tell me almost everything that I need to know, and so it just depends on what kind of questions that you're asking. And so if the pain is in the region of the sacroiliac joint, probably what I would do is I would test one particular muscle called the sartorius muscle. The sartorius is the longest muscle. You've already heard of that before. You've already heard all this, haven't you?
Yes.
But the sartorius muscle, if it fails to work properly, what that does, it causes the sacroiliac joint to rotate backward and jam shut. And that means you can have chronic hip joint pain like there's no tomorrow. And it just doesn't go away because the sartorius is failing to hold the sacroiliac joints in their proper natural alignment. So I would check that. The other one that I would look at is I would look at those very large muscles on the backside, the gluteus muscles. And there's one, there's actually two or three, but the one that I would look at is probably the gluteus medius. And those are easy to test. Either the muscle is functioning normally, and it's behaving normally, or it's generating a whole lot of pain, baby, and it's hurting, and it's very, very weak. And that's good information. And then I would probably go to the adrenal glands and just try to determine, are we having an autoimmune reaction or not? Anyway, I don't know this has to be that big of a deal, and I'm sorry you've had a hard time, but can I tell you a story real quick?
Sure. Can I just ask you, sure. How do you test the sartorius muscle, the gluteus medius?
How do you test them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's easy. All you do is you load the muscle in full extension, and you press against it to see if it holds strong or if it goes weak. This goes back to the 1930s. Look up the book Kindle and Kindle. Any physical therapist could do this. Any chiropractor worth their salt can do it easily. There is a book called Supple Leopard, and he takes you through each and every muscle of the body because he's looking for any type of chronic problems that you're trying to resolve. But, for example, the gluteus medius muscle, all you do is you have a person lay on their side, their bottom leg that's near the table or the floor is bent a little bit, and their top leg, it's going to look like a Jane Fonda video where they're, you know, raising their leg up. They're doing abduction of the hips. So it's very, very easy to test. But if that muscle test weak.
And the physical therapy and the chiropractor that I'm seeing now, and they all say, yes, it's my, and the, what's the fascia, not the fascia, but the I can't remember the name.
The psoas?
No, it's kind of on the side of your glutes.
Well, it's called the tensor fascia lata or the iliotibial band.
Yeah, they're all just really tight.
Well, I know, but why? That's not normal. Normal is normal tone. But what right. If it's abnormal tone, like it's too tight? That's called a hypertonic muscle.
The blood test needed to check adrenal glands?
Well, if you have to, if your knowledge base is so low where you need that, I think it's much easier. I mean, let's put it this way. You have a muscle underneath your knee called the posterior tibialis. I do this all day long. If I press in that and it hurts like the dickens, I start thinking adrenal glands.
Okay. Yeah, my knee is swelling, but I did have my ACL tore.
Well, there's got to be something to this, but something's blocking your healing. And surely, and I'm sorry we're completely out of time, but call me next week. I'll be glad to pour myself into this topic. I love it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.